What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Churchosity Podcast. If you're looking for a Gen X take on church culture, well, guess what? You've come to the right place. My name is Heath Brady.
And I'm Andrea Brady.
And we, the dynamic duo, back at it once again, are here as your faithful Churchosity Podcast personnel.
Amen.
Amen.
We made it.
We made it. We're on a roll. So right out of the gate, I need to address the obvious.
It's not obvious.
It's not obvious?
No.
Well, I'm a little paranoid about it.
Okay.
My insecurities are showing.
Mm.
For our listeners, if by any chance you notice a slight difference in my speech, it is because I have decided to take up the mantle of straightening my teeth.
Mm.
No, I do not have braces. I have what is known as Invisaligns. So I have these trays in my mouth right now. And so for quite some time, you may occasionally hear me struggling with my S's and T's. Maybe they won't hit as hard on the microphone. Maybe it'll be a good thing.
Yeah, could be a good thing.
So there's that.
Uh-huh.
But outside of that, Andy,
yeah,
how you doing? Oh man,
I don't know, I'm doing okay. I don't know, I've just had a rough year so far.
A rough year? It's only the middle of the third month.
I know. I don't know.
Just been one of those weeks.
Yeah, it's just been a week.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel you.
Yeah.
Well, I have some exciting news.
Do tell.
Well, at least it's exciting for me.
Mm.
You know, most of our longtime listeners know that I'm a huge DC guy.
Okay.
Like Superman especially is my jam.
Uh-huh.
Did you catch this announcement? You probably didn't, so it's probably a waste of time for me to ask you this. But Andy, did you happen to catch this announcement the other day, that this kind of cryptic note that Zack Snyder dropped the other day?
No, I missed it entirely.
Yeah, I figured you did.
Right.
The other day, in my TikTok For You page, I follow Zack Snyder, and he dropped this cryptic message of a computer screen and a voice saying, "Save the date, April 28th through the 30th. And the voice is the voice of Darkseid from the Snyder Cut of the Justice League movie.
Huh.
I have no idea what in the heck is coming, but I am on pins and needles, man.
Wow, okay.
And it sucks because I have to wait like another 6 weeks to find out what it is.
Well, it's kind of weird that it's such a secret.
But, you know, that is very Zack Snyder.
Huh.
I mean, for like 3 years or 2 years or whatever, he teased the idea that there was a real Snyder cut out there and like dropped these subtle hints that, you know, eventually that there was.
Hmm.
This is very Zack Snyder-ish. If you will.
Yeah.
But at this point, because of everything that's been going on at DC with James Gunn taking over at the helm and canceling all of the movies that I was excited for and, you know, creating his own universe and canon or whatever, I'm really not getting my hopes up too high because I want to be pleasantly surprised that it's something awesome that has to do with the Snyderverse. But, you know, I don't really have my hopes up, but at the same time, I can't wait to find out what in the world he's got up his sleeve. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
You know how I roll. You know how big of a deal this is to me.
I bet you there are a ton of fan theories.
Oh, gosh. Totally. Yeah. Some that I like, a lot that I don't like. I'll just put it that way.
Interesting.
But here at Churchosity, we are not about DC or Superman. We're not even about Disney. We are about the Gen X take on church culture.
Hmm.
And we've got an exciting new series that we are kicking off in this episode.
All right.
But before we get into all of that, we want to remind all of you just a handful of ways that you can support us here at Churchosity. The first thing that you can do is you can give us a rating. Depending on the app that you are listening to, like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you can scroll down there to the bottom of the page and you can leave us a 5-star rating if you please. And you can even drop us a review, because at the end of the day, folks, ratings and reviews help popularize Churchosity and make us a lot easier for other people to find us. You can also follow us on the socials, at least the ones that we're on.
Mm-hmm.
That would be Facebook or Instagram. Just look for us at the tag at Churchosity Pod. And if you really love this episode, and we know that you love them all, but if you really love this one in particular, you can share this episode with your friends. All you have to do is just click on the link on the app that you are listening to us on and send that link to your friends and attach a friendly little note that says, hey, these guys are awesome and we think that you're going to love Churchosity too. Because we know that they will.
Yeah, I hope so.
No, I know so. Okay, Andy.
Yeah.
You ready to get rolling?
Sure.
Are you excited?
I am.
Very excited, right? We've been spending some time talking about some heavy duty stuff lately, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
We kind of get in the mode of that from time to time because, mm-hmm. you know, the Lord puts something on our hearts and we just roll with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to talk about something maybe a little bit more uplifting for a while. We are going to embark on a journey and discuss the fruits of the Spirit.
The fruit of the Spirit.
The fruit of the Spirit.
That's right.
Well, there are 9 fruits, so it's plural. But, you know, if you have one of those Bibles that the translators put a little header above mm-hmm. certain paragraphs or sections, it would probably say fruit, singular,
yeah.
in your Bible. But mm-hmm. it is fruits. There are 9 of them. And, you know, you and I have been kicking around this idea for a while because at the end of the day, as Gen Xers and as ministers and shepherds, we really kind of like to focus on practical application of biblical truth for our daily lives, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's one thing to fill your head and even your heart with a lot of knowledge and a lot of savvy and a lot of information, but to actually take all of that in and then figure out how to apply it to our Christian walk on a daily basis, that can really be the challenge, right?
Yeah, no kidding. I'm figuring that out every day.
And that's the sanctification process, right? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. we don't ever want to have anybody think that we've cornered the market. We don't want anyone to think that we've arrived.
I mean, finished the race.
A long time ago?
When I've arrived, yeah, I'm dead.
Well, I would echo the words of the Apostle Paul, where he said, not that I have obtained it yet, but I press on.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there awaits for him in glory a crown.
Right.
That's when I will have arrived, is when I go home to glory.
Exactly.
Yep. And when I get there, I'll let you know all about it.
Right.
I'm just saying. But we wanted to also share, you know, some thoughts and musings and ideas of, you know, maybe what living day by day for Christ might actually look like.
Mm.
So, because we love him so much, we're going to be using the writings of our favorite celebrity, the Apostle Paul.
Right.
We're going to be taking a look at a chapter in the book of Galatians. Mm-hmm. We're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 5. In particular, towards the end, that's where you will find the fruits, plural, of the Spirit listed. You know, Galatians is a really interesting book. It's a letter that Paul wrote to a church that he planted in Galatia, which in the first century was a city in Asia Minor. And he's writing this letter to a church that he planted while he's on location elsewhere. He receives word that the new believers in the Church of Galatia are reverting back to Judaism.
Oh.
In other words, they're reverting back to this works-oriented religion.
Hmm.
You know, when Paul went out on his missionary journeys, here's a little bit of church history for you.
Uh-huh.
When Paul went out on his 3 missionary journeys, he had this group of troublemakers. We call them the Judaizers. They were these false teachers of the law. And they essentially were kind of traveling around on Paul's coattails while he was on his missionary journey. And they were causing a huge disturbance especially in Galatia within the church community.
Mm.
And thus, many of the new converts, many of the new followers of Jesus Christ, those who Paul preached to, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation, many of those new believers in Christ were returning or reverting back to living under the law and not by faith alone in Jesus. And we're going to touch on that a little bit later in the episode, but this is kind of the situation that Paul is writing to in the entire letter. There's divisions and quarreling, and I would imagine that as a new believer in Jesus Christ, who you know that moment when you first become a believer and it's like you're going to preach the gospel to a rock or a tree, right? Like that fire, that zeal that you have for Jesus.
Yeah.
And then somebody who was right there alongside you at the beginning of that journey starts questioning that, or starts going, well, now these guys over here are saying that I have to do this and this and this and this and this in order to find my faith in Jesus, or keep my faith in Jesus, or solidify my salvation.
That can be really confusing for someone who's a new Christian. Well, it's still confusing. It's confusing to lots of people.
Sure, yeah.
But I would imagine more so for someone who's a new convert.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I have been Christians a long time, and when we hear people in different faiths or different church communities, you know, talking or believing along those lines, we just kind of look at each other and scratch our heads, and we're like, dude, that's such hard work.
Yeah.
You know, like, how perfect do you have to be to get into heaven? Well, completely perfect. Okay, how do you make yourself perfect? Well, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. Except, clearly, no matter what we do, we fall short.
Mm.
Romans 3:23, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I just kind of felt like a great starting point for this conversation, because it's going to be a long one, so we're going to have several episodes talking about the fruits of the Spirit.
You're going to bug me about that this whole episode, aren't you?
Only on this one.
I'm the fruit and he's the fruits.
Well, I am definitely fruity. I am definitely fruity.
All right.
So I just kind of thought that a great starting point for this conversation was to kind of look at two things.
Okay.
The first thing would be to look at what Christ has brought us into.
Mm.
And the second thing would be to look at what Christ has brought us out of,
okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So why don't we start there? Why don't we ask and answer that question? What is it that Christ has brought us out of?
Brought us out of. Okay.
So, you know, if we open up our scriptures or get our thumbs walking and open up our Bible apps, we're looking at Galatians chapter 5. Starting right in verse 1.
It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery.
We were set free by Jesus Christ. What has he brought us out of? What were we set free from? Paul says right there in that verse, the yoke of slavery.
Right. Slavery to sin.
Right. The bondage of our sin nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to understand this is theology proper. This is theology prime. This is theology 101. Your $25 seminary word of the day is soteriology. This is the process of becoming saved, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Before being set free by coming to the knowledge of the gospel, that is being saved by faith alone in Christ alone for our salvation, what did our spiritual condition actually look like? Well, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit versus the deeds of the flesh. If you look, skip down further in Galatians 5, beginning in verse 16 through 18, Paul writes these words, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." See, Paul makes it very, very clear that the flesh, who we are naturally, and the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, they are constantly at war with each other. It's that internal battle between doing right or wrong. And ladies and gentlemen, it is far more serious. It is far more important than just this simple, dinky little imagery of an angel or a demon on your shoulder whispering in your ears.
Well, that internal battle continues when you're after you're saved.
It sure does. And we're going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
But that's a great point.
Yeah.
That is a fabulous point. But these verses that I just read, Galatians 5, 16 through 18, it implies not only that there is an internal battle between doing right or wrong, but it also implies that ultimately there is a right and a wrong.
Mm.
What is right, it pleases God, and it's prompted by the Spirit. What is wrong is of the flesh, and it pleases us.
Mm.
If we walk by the Spirit, by the prompting or the directing or the leading of the Holy Spirit, we will not carry out the deeds of the flesh. So what was it that Christ brought us out of? He brought us out of being a slave to that nature. Mm-hmm. You see, that's the thing. Prior to salvation, the only choices that we ever make are selfish.
Mm.
They're whatever pleases us. Right?
Right.
So we're a slave to that nature. The freedom that we have comes through Christ. Once we are set free from that bondage, that yoke of our sin nature, now we have the choice. Now we have the freedom to choose to either listen to the desires of the flesh or follow after what the Holy Spirit would have us do.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Christ brought us out of. Paul goes on to say that if we walk by the Spirit, by the prompting or the directing or the leading of the Holy Spirit, we will not carry out those deeds of the flesh.
Hmm.
So what is it that keeps us from doing the things that God does not want us to do?
The Spirit.
Walking in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That fight that the Spirit puts up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what am I referring to when I say that? Go back and look at that verse again, Galatians 5, verse 18. It says that the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. For these, that would be the Spirit against the flesh, are in opposition to one another. Why is the Spirit warring against the flesh? So that you may not do the things that you please. You catch that?
Yeah.
The reason why the Holy Spirit is at war against the flesh, the reason why the Spirit is in opposition to the flesh, is so that we will not want to do the things that please us.
Mm.
But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. It's pretty deep.
Yeah, it's very deep.
And so is the battle. Because that fight that the Spirit puts up, well, if we are followers of Christ, the Spirit is constantly putting up opposition to the deeds of the flesh so that we don't do what pleases us.
Hmm.
So what then are the deeds of the flesh?
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's in there too.
Yeah. Well, they're pretty evident.
Yeah. As we're looking at Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
That's a pretty intense list.
Yeah.
Now, if you count the phrase, and things like these,
etc., etc.,
there are 16 items on that list.
Uh-huh.
16 specific items. Well, 15 specific items, and then number 16 is anything else that looks like these.
Uh-huh.
Right? Now, just for clarification, probably 80% of the items on that list, 80% of the behaviors, 80% of the habits or personality traits, I would argue, the things that characterize an individual on that list, we kind of know what Paul's getting at, right? But there's a handful that we hear those words and we go, wait a minute, like sorcery, what?
Yeah.
I'm not practicing magic. Or what is sensuality, right? Well, first of all, I want to just point out that outbursts of anger, the Greek rendering literally is fits of rage. Somebody who is just full of rage, right? Sensuality, well, that would be like an over-the-top demonstration of lustful behavior. Not necessarily the equal of sexual immorality, but someone who just kind of braggadociously, flamboyantly puts themselves out there in a lustful manner, if you will. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But sorcery, that's a fun one. And it's one of those words in the English translations of our Bibles that drives me nuts.
Oh, yeah?
Because the Greek word there is pharmakia.
Okay.
Can I give you three guesses on what we get, what word we get from pharmakia?
Pharmacy.
Pharmacy. And what do we get from pharmacies?
Drugs.
Drugs. So this word that's translated in the English sorcery, it's pharmakia. It's a better way of saying that would be some sort of drug-induced state.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because in Paul's day, in various cities where he planted churches, like especially in the church in Corinth, there was sort of a pagan ritualistic activity where there were these drug-induced behaviors that people would get themselves into, if you follow me.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, this is kind of like the drug version of drunkenness, which is also on the list, by the way. And then carousing, well, that would be all of the lustful behaviors involved with drunkenness, just as sensuality is all of the lustful behaviors involved with immorality. You follow me?
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is that Paul doubles up here. He gives the list and says, and things like these, of which I forewarn you. I'm warning you about these things right now, but just as I already have forewarned you. Like, it's a big deal, folks. We call that in the biblical scholarly world, we call that the law of double mention.
Okay.
Kind of like when Jesus would say, verily, verily,
right,
truly, truly, like pay attention. Well, here Paul says twice, I warned you once, and I warned you once before, and now I'm warning you again right now, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
What did Jesus rescue us from? He rescued us from being slaves to all of those behaviors.
Right.
On our best day, we were all still some version of those. But here's the kicker.
Yeah.
In the Greek, every single one of these, it's like basically writing them on a banner and then wrapping it around yourself and walking out into public. It's like saying, this is who I am. I am immorality. I am idolatry. I am strife. You follow me?
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, I sinned and lost my temper. Lord, please forgive me. That's different. It's literally someone who you could look at a person and you could say that's who they are. They are an angry person. They are a person who causes factions amongst other people.
Yeah.
They like to cause trouble. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, just as a side note, the verse right before this section of scripture, Galatians 5 verse 18, it says that if we are led by the Spirit, we are not under the law. All of these behaviors are under the law. But what is the law? Well, the law is kind of a twofold definition. The first one being, for practical application, it's all of the commandments, all of the rules, all of the rituals, and all of the practices given in the Mosaic law in the Old Testament. So we have the Big Ten,
as I always like
to call it. And then you have like basically all of the book of Leviticus and some other verses in Numbers and Deuteronomy. There's like 700 commandments, if you will, altogether in the entirety of the Mosaic Law. So guess what, ladies and gentlemen? If you want to be like some of these Galatians that Paul is writing to, and you want to go back to a works-oriented way of living your quote-unquote Christian faith by living under the law, you have to get all roughly 700 of those commandments right all of the time. So right. I'll be rooting for you.
Yeah, good luck.
But the other application of the law is the practical life application. It's everything that's required to be considered holy to enter the kingdom of God.
Mm.
And again, what is that requirement? What is the standard for entering the kingdom of God?
Perfection.
Perfection. Mm-hmm. So again, if you want to try that on your own, apart from Christ, I'll be rooting for you. But I'll still be here when you come to your senses and come back and say, okay, what's the better way?
Right.
Because that really is what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. That is the evidence of what faith in Christ alone manifests itself as in the life of a believer.
Mm-hmm.
If we are not under the law, as it says in Galatians 5:18, if we're led by the Spirit, we're not under the law. If we're not under the law, that means we no longer have a record or a rap sheet to be accused of.
Mm-hmm.
So remember that other question that I wanted us to answer?
No. What question?
That what has Christ brought us into?
Oh, right.
Well, Christ has brought us into a clean record.
Oh, gosh.
He has... basically, walking in the Spirit mm-hmm. clears our record for us. And how was that done? It was done by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He wiped our record clean. He tore up our rap sheet and threw it away forever, if you will.
Right.
And this is why Paul is so beside himself when he learned of the Galatians returning to this practice of being under the law again, rather than living under grace. Mm. Because that, just like he mentions in Galatians chapter 1, that is a false gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And it is completely antithetical to what Christ has provided. Let's look at some more verses.
Okay.
Back in Galatians 5. Let's just read a couple of verses here and unpack this a little bit more, shall we?
All right.
Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 7. This is what he is saying to some of these Galatian Christians. He's saying in verse 7, "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you." That him is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
"This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough." In other words, this little leaven, there's some people in your midst that are stirring up trouble. There's some people in your midst, you know, these Judaizers, and then other people who are subscribing to all of that stuff.
Right.
They're causing trouble. Like leaven in a clump of dough, it is basically infecting the whole bunch of you. So what should you do? Verse 12, get rid of them. And what does it say in verse 12?
"I wish that those who were troubling you would even mutilate themselves."
How does Paul really feel?
Oh.
Paul, tell us how you feel about these people that are dragging the new converts back to the way of doing it the old way.
Yeah.
How do you really feel, Paul? Tell us.
He's so good at telling us what he really thinks.
Yeah. "I wish that these people would mutilate themselves."
Mm-hmm.
What does it actually mean in the Greek, Andy?
Well, in context, these Judaizers were encouraging circumcision as a method for
being set apart.
Yes, for being set apart.
Because they were not Jews, they were Gentiles.
Exactly.
So that's part of the law, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so these Judaizers wanted one of these Gentiles to be circumcised physically. So what is Paul actually saying about these people in the Greek?
Well, in the Greek, that word there means amputate, and you know, amputate themselves.
Castrate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Again, Paul, tell us how you really feel.
He's pretty blunt.
Yeah. Paul, that's why I like Paul so much.
I know.
Like, he just cuts right to the... He just cuts it straight, right?
No pun intended.
Well, then. Paul goes into this whole dissertation of how they were freed from all of that bondage of sin and living under the law by the gospel and to serve one another. Mm-hmm. Look at verse 14. Okay. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So when you look at that list of the deeds of the flesh, everything on that list, right?
Yeah.
At the core, who benefits from doing any of that stuff?
Yourself.
Yourself.
Yeah, it's all selfish.
It's
behavior.
All selfish. And isn't it true? Isn't it a true and trustworthy statement, Andy?
Yeah.
That when we are in sin, and ultimately if we're in bondage to sin, when we are sinning, all we are doing is basically putting ourselves on the throne of our heart that Jesus is supposed to occupy. And rather than living a life that is pleasing to God, we live a life that pleases ourselves.
Wow.
And that's why Paul says that the deeds of the flesh are evident.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who benefits from any of that? We do. And that's why that whole point about the spirit warring against the flesh is such an important image to kind of keep in your head, that the Holy Spirit stands in opposition. The Holy Spirit is constantly opposing the flesh because God doesn't want us to do things that please ourselves because he knows that they are not good for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know about you, Andy. I've used this analogy before, but like, for instance, if I wanted to be the most amazing basketball player that I possibly could, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't just pull up some YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't get on Facebook and like send a shout out getting everybody to pay attention to me or feel sorry for me because I don't know how to play and hope that someone could give me some pointers. Now, I know because of who I am and where I live and my age and everything, it would be virtually impossible to do this, but I would try to find someone as good as Michael Jordan. Like, I would want to go to the source.
Right.
Right? Because Gen Xer, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan's the GOAT.
Right. You'd want to take his master class.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And if he has a master's class, if he has a master class on YouTube, I'll watch that YouTube video.
Exactly.
I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So why in the world would I ever want to try to live a life? Why would I, you know, like people say, oh, you know, they're a good person. Well, how good is good? How good is good enough, right?
Right.
I wouldn't want to try to be good on the standards of what the world says is good.
Mm.
I wouldn't even want to try to be good based on the standards of what I think is good. Because that's no better than a YouTube video or a Facebook post.
Right.
No, what I want to do that's good is I want to do what my God says is good for me. Because God is not some tyrannical leader that gives us a religious list of do's and don'ts. He is a God that saves us, and he gives us instruction, not just because he wants to be in control of our lives, but because he knows those things that aren't good for us really are not good for us.
Yeah.
And not just because they don't please him, but because they're not good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
And that natural propensity that we're all born into to do nothing outside of what makes us pleased, those are the things that are ultimately not good for us naturally, and I would argue supernaturally.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. You know, remember, Andy, before Jesus left this earth, he got his disciples together and he told them that when he leaves, that the Father would send the Comforter,
right,
to teach them all things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who the Holy Spirit is, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. It's one of the many jobs of the Holy Spirit, to teach us all things, mm-hmm, and to guide us into all truth. Mm-hmm. And how does he guide us? Well, that would be the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm. Well, if we don't walk by the Spirit, instead we're leading our lives in a fleshly way, you know, the deeds of the flesh, we're not very effective ministers, are we?
Well, no, because who are we actually ministering to?
To ourselves.
To ourselves.
So it's virtually impossible to be, you know, living your life for Jesus if you're not being led by the Spirit and walking by the Spirit.
Amen. And let's face it, Scripture also says that there is none who does good. No, not one.
Right.
I forget which old preacher it was, if it was Billy Graham or whoever, I don't remember, but I remember hearing this when I was a little kid, that the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Mm.
Even our best of intentions are not pleasing to God. They are still pleasing to ourselves.
Yeah.
And so, as an addendum to that answer of what Christ brought us into, we come into the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what the crux of our series is about. It's not about the deeds of the flesh. We just want to show you, kind of rather descriptively, what those deeds of the flesh look like, mm-hmm. and how they affect us naturally and supernaturally, and contrast that with the main point of our series, and that is the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruits of the Spirit, excuse me.
Fruit.
And you can find those also in Galatians chapter 5, immediately following the list of the deeds of the flesh, beginning in verse 22.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Mm. Against such things there is no law. You are not under the law. You are not convicted by... There was nothing on that list that would put you in spiritual jail. There is nothing on that list that makes you in bondage to sin. There is nothing on that list that has you standing accused before the Father. There is nothing on that list that is a work of your own.
Right.
These are the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. So now that we've taken up all of this time talking about all of the nonsensical behaviors of the deeds of the flesh, we've left ourselves with barely enough time to talk about the very first, to just barely touch on the very first fruit of the Spirit. And I would argue it's the most important one.
Mm-hmm.
And that is love.
Mm-hmm.
Love. And I'm not talking about this ooey gooey, feelsy love that the world likes to say that that's all we need. All we need is love. Love is love. Right?
Right.
You can't help who you love. That's mm-hmm. not what we're talking mm-hmm. about. That is not what Paul is talking about. No, the Greek word here for love, any guesses?
Agape.
Agape. It's the most difficult one to express and understand and demonstrate of the four Greek words for love.
Mm-hmm.
There's three other ones in the Greek for love. This word here, it's agape. It's unconditional. No strings attached. Nothing in it for me. That's the kind of love that is a direct fruit of the Spirit.
Mm.
Ironically, it's the same Greek word that's used for love in 1 Corinthians 13.
Mm-hmm. That love is patient.
Yes. And yeah. What else? 1 Corinthians 13:4.
Okay. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked and does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails.
Mm. Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
agape love never fails. But just that list of qualifiers of agape love is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That it's patient, it's kind, not jealous, etc. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, Andy, outside of walking in the Spirit, the greatest act of love that I could ever do, it looks like hatred compared to this.
I know. It's hard. I mean, I want to be like this all the time, but I don't know.
Well, I think that is a perfect attitude to have.
Right?
I think that is a perfect attitude to have. Mm-hmm. All those years I coached football, of course, all my kids, when they played, what did they want to do? They wanted to win.
Right.
And they would just talk about it. Like if they were trailing by points in a game, like they would just get down, right? Mm. And I would tell the kids all the time, every single year, over and over and over again, this undeniable truth that I live by as a coach and as a Christian, as a pastor and as a parent, and as a husband. Winning isn't everything, but wanting to win is. Having this perfect unconditional love always isn't everything, but wanting to have it is.
Amen.
And that is just such it's a mature and responsible place to be in. Because Andy, you and I both know from experience and all of the years that we have been a Christian that it is impossible to do this.
Yeah.
It's
super humbling.
Yes. Because not only is it impossible to do this, it's impossible to do this all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's deep, right?
Yeah.
And that's where we get into conversations about grace and all of those things, right? Mm-hmm. But when you look at this list in 1 Corinthians 13 from verses 4 through the very beginning of verse 8, you see this love that Paul is talking about in Galatians 5 as the first fruit of the Spirit defined for you. And when you and here's another layer to this. When you look at that list of qualifiers of love in 1 Corinthians 13, mm-hmm. and you compare it with the list in Galatians 5 of what the deeds of the flesh look like,
yeah,
you discover one very awesome and yet terrifying truth. That the love, the agape love that is the fruit of the Spirit, mm-hmm. is literally the polar opposite of every single deed of the flesh. Mm. Because the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, not only is it unconditional, it doesn't seek its own. And everything on that list of the deeds of the flesh are things that seek its own. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. Wow.
And I would argue, just as a precursor, mm-hmm. the next one on the list of the fruit of the Spirit is joy.
Yeah.
How do you have joy if you don't have love?
Right. It's impossible.
Yeah. Let's dig a little deeper. How do you have peace or promote peace if you don't have love?
Right.
How do you have patience or long-suffering if you don't have love?
You don't have that at all, no.
What about?
I mean, not you, but I mean.
Oh, no, I hear you. I know. You. Well, it's okay. You have permission. I mean, you can preach at me.
No, I didn't mean it that way. It sounded bad.
Sure you didn't.
Like, you don't have patience if you don't have love.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, and it just goes on. Kindness. Can't mm-hmm. have kindness without love. Goodness. Mm-hmm. Faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Gentleness. Mm. Self-control. And that's why against these things there is no law. Because, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, without love, you're just living out the deeds of the flesh. Mm-hmm. But with the fruit of the Spirit being love, that will propel you into the rest of the items on that list of the fruit of the Spirit. Because where there is love, there is joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc. So think about love. The rest of the fruits of the Spirit will follow.
And that's all we have to say about that.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Churchosity Podcast. the show where we try to give you the Gen X take on church culture. And thank you once again, as always, to my amazing co-host and phenomenal wife.
You're very welcome. Be sure to follow us on all the socials. That's Facebook and Instagram. Our tag is @ChurchosityPod. Drop us a message and give us your feedback, because we'd really love to hear from you.
And once again, if you happen to be listening to this episode on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please be sure to give us a rating. And if you feel like it, drop us a review as well. Your ratings and your reviews not only help popularize Churchosity Podcast, but also make us a heck of a lot easier for other people to find us. And don't forget to spread the word about Churchosity Podcast by just simply telling a friend to tell a friend what we're doing here.
Yeah, let them be a part of the conversation too.
But always remember that the goal of our instruction is love.
From a pure heart.
And from a good conscience.
And a sincere faith.
So we thank all of you once again for listening, and we look forward to catching you on the next episode of Churchosity Podcast. Peace.